Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Lamed Aleph, and we will begin two lines from the top of daf Kuf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. So yesterday, the daf Yoimi world began a new perek, the 10th perek in Masechtas Chulin, perek Hazroya VeHalicho Yayim. So what exactly is the Zroya VeHalicho Yayim, or Lechayim for short? So the Torah in Parshas Shoiftim, Dvarim Yudches, Pasuk Yud Gimel says, V'zeh yiyem mishpat ha-koyanim me'eis ha'om, me'eis zoifchei ha-sevach imshar imseh. If a member of the Am, that's going to be a key word in today's daf, shall shecht an animal, chulin, whether it's a shor or a seh, v'nosan la-koyan, he has to take part of the animal that he shechted and give it to the koyan as matnas kohuna. What does he have to give? The zraya, that's the foreleg, the halicha yayin, the jaw, the hakeva, that of course is the abemez. The pasuk continues and says, reishes de gancha tiroishcha v'yitzarecha v'reishes geis tzoincha Titein loy. Additionally, you have to give other matnas kuna to the goy. Meaning, in addition to the zroid, the lechayayim, and the keva, you have to give truma, which is reishes, the gancha, tiroishcha, vitzarecha. There's something called reishes, hageiz, and the pasuk continues and says, kiva, vachar Hashem alekecha, vikol shvatecha, lamid, lesharis, b'shem Hashem, who one of kalayavim, because of the fact that the kayanim were chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to serve and worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's for that reason that we have an obligation to support them. And one of the things that we do to support them is that every single time we shecht an animal, we give them the zroya, the lechayayim, and the keva. The zroya, lechayayim, and the keva are referred to by Chazal as matonos. So when you think of matonos, especially in the context of the koyan, you're thinking usually of the chof dalib matnas kuna. Stating that, we're going to see the term matonos, which is referring specifically to the zroya, lechayayim, and the keva. Another thing that's unique about the zroya, lechayayim, and the keva is that it's only noyig b'chulim. As we saw on Shabbos, the Mishnah said that in contrast to other matnas kahuna, which maybe would apply to chulin and kachim, if somebody would shecht an animal that's kachim, you would not have the halacha that you have to give the zroi l'chaim and the keva to the kohen. It's tafka shchitas chulin where you have to do that. Stating that, we're in the deep in middle of a sugya. The Gemara on the top of daf kuf lamed amud beis put a very important memra for Rav Chisda. Gufa, amar Rav Chisda, mazik matnas kahuna. If somebody damages matnas kahuna, so Ruvain shechted a carbon. He now has the zroi l'chaim and the keva. You know, he has to give it to the Kayan. He went and he damaged it. So the question is, does he have an obligation, a Choshen Mishpat obligation, to give the Kayan the value of the matnas kahuna that he damaged or not? Meaning the actual matnas kahuna were damaged already. That itself he can't give. But the question is there some chayshem mishpat obligation that he has? Rav Chisda said, my time, he said, it could be it's learned out from a pasuk, the Torah, this pasuk that we mentioned, that mentions the chiyuv to give the zroi l'chaim the keva. It says, v'zeh, yeh mishpat ha-kayan me'esa, v'zeh is coming to teach me that only if it's intact, if it's right here, then you have an obligation to give it. But if you damaged it or you ate it, it's not here, then you don't have an obligation to give it. Alternatively, alumnus, it could be that although it's true a yid has an obligation to give matnas kahuna, but that's a yeridei obligation. You have a mitzvah to give a koyim matnas kahuna, just like you have a mitzvah to put on tefillin in the morning. But there's no cheshem mishpat component to it, to the sense that the koyim can come and he could be toiveya and say, you realize you have something that belongs to me. So if there'd be a cheshem mishpat component, we'd look at the matnas kahuna as mamon sheyesh loy toivin. So then if you damage it, there's a cheshem mishpat element. Now you have to sit down and go through the halachos of Bava Kama, Bava Metziah, Bava Basra, and you have to ask yourself, do I have to make the Kohen whole? Do I not have to make the Kohen whole? But Rav Chisda was mechadish that manes kahuna is mamon she'en v'toyven, and as far as pasha, because I don't owe it to any individual Kohen. It's the shevet as a whole that has a tfiyah on it. That's not considered a choshem mishpat tfiyah. Thus, there's no one that I'm responsible to give it to. And for that reason, Rav Chisda said, if someone's mazik matnas kuna, or if somebody eats matnas kuna, he's going to be part. So the Gemara fired away with kashas on Rav Chisda, specifically the Iba Yasei Masvara that Rav Chisda said, which is that matnas kuna is mamin she'en le'tovin. And we will pick up with one of the Toshma's two lines from the top of Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. Zok the Gemara Toshma Haresha Ansoi Beis HaMelech Garnoi. If the Beis HaMelech tax collectors came into a person's field and they went and they took tfuah from this person. So the halacha is as follows. In Bechayvai, if the tfua that the Beis HaMelech took was it because of a debt that the owner of the field had towards the Beis HaMelech. So for example, this person was arrears with certain tax obligations that he had. So the Beis HaMelech sent a tax collector down, the IRS came, and they took money away from this person. So then the halacha is that in the event that this person had not given Trumas or Maestras yet from the Tfuah that was taken away from him, Chayv La'aser, he's going to have a Chiv to give Maestr. Being that he was responsible, he had to give this Tfuah to the Beis HaMelech, he also had a chiv to be marfish trumas or maestras to give to the Kehadim and the Levium. The fact that it was taken away from him doesn't exempt him now from the chiv trumas or maestras that he has. In Bam Paris, if however, when they took this away from this person, they took it away shaloi kedin, meaning he didn't owe anything to the Beis HaMelech, they just went ahead and took it from him, potter melaser. In that case, he's going to be potter from giving maestras. What's the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara's kasha is that in the reisha of the Mishnah, where the reisha says that ansoi Beis HaMelech garnoi mishum chayvai, over there you have to go ahead and give the Maisa to the Kohen and the Levi. Why do you have to give the Maisa? L'chaira, if all you have is a Yerideya obligation, there the Gemara thinks in Svara, it's Pasha, that the only time you'd have that obligation is if you physically have the Tvu in your house. If you don't have the Tvu in your house, it was taken away from you, there shouldn't be a Yerideya obligation. The only way it would make sense that you should have a Chiv to give Trumas or Maisras from Tvu that you had in the past tense that you don't have right now because it was taken away from you, albeit Kedin, would be if there's some Chayshav Mishpat element. But Rav Chizkiya said that Man is Kuna. There is no chayshav mishpat elephant. So, frek the Gemara. How does this brisa shtim with Rav Chizda said? So the Gemara answers: Shani Hasam, the ka mishtar shalulei. And the way the Rishonim learned the Gemara's teretz is that enochinami. Really, midai raisa. Rav Chizda is right. Matnas kunas mamachin leitayven. And the fact that you don't have it in your rishus now is a reason that you shouldn't have to give chumas or maizus. The reason the chachamim obligated you to do it is midirabanan. It's a yerideya type of obligation, not a chayshav mishpat obligation. And it's in fact only midirabanan. Rabbanan didn't want you to benefit from repaying a loan. Being that this is a loan you anyways had to pay, and by paying it now, without being mafresh Trumas or Maestras, you're quote-unquote being mishtarshi, you're profiting, you're benefiting the Trumas or Maestras that you're not going to have to give. Chama were uncomfortable with that, so Chama said, go ahead and give it. But it's only midday Rabbanan that you're obligated to give it. Midday Raisa, you're not, because midday Raisa, there's certainly no Yerideya Chiyav, there's also no Chayshav Mishpat Chiyav, because there's never a Chayshav Mishpat Chiyav, like Rav Chizda said, that man is kun is mom and she'in lo yitayim. Tashma another Raya, Omar Li, if somebody goes over to someone, he says, "Mecharli bnei meyel shal paro, sell to me the intestines of a paro." V'aya behem matnas kuna, included in the intestines is often the keva, the abomasum, which is one of the three matnas kuna that you have to give when you shecht an animal. Zroi l'chaim. In Keva, it was included in the matnas kuna. So somebody went, he didn't shecht an animal. He went to his local butcher and he bought the b'nei me'ayim of an animal, included in it was the keva. So the halach is nois l'kayin. He has an obligation to take that keva and give it to the kayin. Ve'inu menakle min adamim. And he can't go back to the moicher and tell him, I paid $100 for the b'nei me'ayim, I had to give $20 worth of meat to the kayin, give me back the $20. Why? Because it's understood that if you ask for b'nei me'ayim, there's a good chance you're going to get the keva, and every yid knows that the keva, it's a pasuk in the Torah. You have to give it to the kayin. Look, he made a mishkal. If, however, he didn't just walk into the butcher store and say, give me the b'nei me'ayim, but he asked him to weigh, I want a pound worth of b'nei me'ayim. There it's different. There, if there's keva included in what he bought, nois l'kayin, u'menakle min adonim, and he can go to the meicher and ask him to make me whole. So for some reason, if he told him the weight of what it was he was trying to buy, so there it's mashma that he's telling the meicher, I don't want something that I have to give to the kohen. So if you have something you have to give to the kohen, you have to give it to the kohen, because the pasuk in the Torah is going to trump. But at the same time, you can go back to the meicher and ask him to give your money back. Frek the Gemara Kasha, how could you go back to the meicher and ask for your money? As if to say the meicher did something wrong that or if you eat matnas kahuna, you are potter. So in this case, where the meicher sold the matnas kuna that was supposed to go to the kohen, why is he on the hook now to make the loikeach whole? Had he damaged the matnas kuna, he would have been off the hook. So now that he sold it, he's somehow responsible? How could what this meicher did, which is sell the keva, be any worse than had he damaged the keva? Had he damaged the keva or eaten the keva, he would have been potter. Now because he sold the keva, he suddenly has to make his lekeach responsible. The Gemara gives a very posh to teretz. Shani Hasan, this domain now. Yeah, if you damage it, your mazik, it's not here. If it's not here, then you're going to be potter. But over here, it is here. So to the extent it's here, we look at it differently. Over here, you're going to be chayv. Tashma, one final raya. Tisha, nichsei koyin. There are nine types of matnas kahuna that are considered the possession of a kohen. Truma, trumas meiser, chala, reishas ages, umatanois, what's that? Zroi l'chaim and kevo. V'admai, that's six. V'habikurin, v'akeren v'achoymesh, that's eight and nine. Keren and choymesh is referring to nichsei ager. If somebody steals from a ger and he swears he didn't steal, and then he's maida, so he has to pay keren v'choymesh. In the event that the ger dies, who has no yarshim, the keren choymesh goes to the kayhanim sugis in the end of Masechtas Bava Kama. But either way, so nine types of matnes kuna, included in which is the zroi l'chaim and kevo, where we look at these matnes kuna as nichsei hakoyim. Says the Gemara, l'mai. The Bryce is emphasizing that it belongs to the Kohen. What does it mean it belongs to the Kohen? Lav lo hitzim b'dayanim. Doesn't it mean that the Kohen has some chesh mishpat zchus that he could go after you for it? Meaning we look at it as mamon sheyesh loy toivin. If that's the case, it blatantly contradicts where Rav Chizda says, the Gemara says, look at the time. It's referring to something else. Something that's mentioned in a Mishnah in Masechtas Bikurim. Not uktzin, not a halas, not tzolyoim, not machshirim. But rather Masechtas Bikurim. Lama amru nichsei Kohen. When we say that Matnas Kuna is considered the nechasim of a kohen. L'may nafgemino shekohenim ben avadim karkois ubeim etmei. What it means to say is that the kohen can use this matnas kuna, such as the Bikurim, or whatever the matnas kuna was, to buy slaves, land, or animals. Ubal choiv noit l'chayva. Additionally, if the kohen owes somebody money, so his creditor can come and take payment for the loan from his matnas kuna. The isha b'ksubasa. If he's married and he has a ksuba obligation to his wife, he can fulfill his ksuba obligation with the matnas kuna. And finally, the sefer Torah. He can even buy a sefer Torah with it. Either way, this concludes the Gemara's lengthy discussion, which really began on Shabbos' daf of Rav Chizda's very important halacha, which is a mazik matnas kuna oisha achlam patam l'shalem ma'itayma iba yisem akra iba yisem asvara. But the emphasis of the sugya and the lamdas of the sugya is in the Iba Yisem Asvara, and that is that Matnas Kuna is viewed as Mamon She'ein Loi Toivim. Either way, Zok the Gemara Vaiter, Gishmaki Gemara. Hu Leva, Dav Chotach, Matanasa. There was a Levi who was grabbing away the Matnas Kuhuna from people that were on their way to bring the Matnas Kuhuna to Koyhanim. So Rashi speaks out exactly what the case was. So, man has an obligation to give Azrael L'chaim and Keva to a Kayan. He sends his child with it. So this person went, he stole candy from a child, and he grabs the Azrael L'chaim and the Keva at him, and this was a Levi. The Levi wanted the Azrael L'chaim and the Keva. He was chopping it. Also, I'm related to Rav. They came and they told Rav what's happening, that there's a Levi who's stealing the Azrael L'chaim and the Keva. So Rav said, the Levi should be happy that we're kind to him and we don't obligate him himself to give matnas kuna, to give the Zroi l'chaim l'keva. El mikhtav nami chatev. And Noach, he needs more than that. He needs to take it himself. Meaning, Rav said that if we wanted, we could have obligated the Levium to give the Zroi l'chaim l'keva from the animals at Eshach. We didn't. They should be happy with that. Not only is this Levi not happy with the fact that we don't obligate him to give Zroi l'chaim in the keva, but he needs more than that. He's going to take the Zroi l'chaim in the keva that really doesn't belong to him, says the Gemara for Rav. I don't understand. Rav clearly was of the opinion that we don't obligate the Levi, as if the Levi is not chayiv to give Zroi l'chaim in the keva. But he used a very interesting lashon. The Gemara is going to shtelzach on that lashon. He didn't say the Levi is not chayiv to give Zroi l'chaim in the keva. He also didn't say he is chayiv. He said that we don't obligate him to us. Afraid the Gemara Mamanav Shach. Either he should be chayev or he shouldn't be chayev. And really, what should it depend on? So what it should depend on is how you read the pasuk. It says, "Vizei yiyem mishpat hakoyanim me'es ha'om me'es zoyv chayazevach." The Torah says, you know who has to give the zroy l'chaim in the keva? This is very important for the entire daf. Me'es ha'om. So anyone that qualifies as being a member of the folk, a member of the nation, he has an obligation to go ahead and give the Zroi L'chaim in the keva. So really, whether a Levi should be chayiv or should not be chayiv should depend on whether the Levi is considered am or not. In fact, the Gemara is going to say in tomorrow's daf that Kohanim don't have to give Zroi L'chaim in the keva. Now you're going to tell me, of course Kohanim don't have to give Zroi L'chaim in the keva. Who would they be giving it to? They'd be taking it out of one pocket and putting it into another pocket. But as we're going to see tomorrow, that's not true, because Kehanim have a chiv to be mafresh Trumas and Maestras, even though the Trumas and Maestras ends up staying by themselves if they want. But there's an obligation to be mafresh. A Kohen does not have to be mafresh the Zroi L'chaim and the cave. Why? Because it says in the Torah, V'zeh yeh mishpat ha-Kehanim me'ez ha'am. I mean that it says, me'ez ha'am, the Kehanim are not included in the am. The am means the oilam. It means everybody else. Kehanim are on a pedestal. They're not included in the am. So, Freyta Gemara, what did Rav hold with regards to the Levi? If a Levi is considered am, then they should be obligated to give just like anybody's obligated to. And Rachmana Patrino, then the Potam Yikradin. So either the Levi is chayv or it's not chayv. And really what it depends on is whether he's called am and not called am. So what's this lashon that Rav used? The Levim aren't happy. They should be happy that we don't obligate them to give Matnas Kuno. They're not going ahead and taking Matnas Kuno where it doesn't really belong to him, says the Gemara. You have to say Mesafkale Yikriyami Lo Yikriyam. That Rav wasn't sure he was Mesopik. So what? He was Mesopik. Zok Rashi. Therefore, what do you do if you have a Sofik? There'd be no way to go ahead and take it from the Levi. But Rav held that that was already rabbinic in nature. The fact that we tell the Levi, and you don't have to give it, that's like us throwing a bone, literally, pun intended, to the Levi. And we're telling him, you can keep this Zroi L'chaim in the Keva. So Rav said, it's not enough that we allow him to keep this Zroi L'chaim in the Keva, but he has to go ahead and he has to take it, says the Gemara. Yosef Rapapa, Vikamala L'Hoshmait. Rapapa was sitting and he said over what he heard from Rav. Specifically, that we don't obligate the Levi to give the Zroi L'chaim in the Keva. Why not? Because we're not sure if the Levi is Ikriam or he's Lo Ikriam. And as a result, it's a suffix whether he has a chiyuv to give it. We look at it as a Sofik Mamoin. Sofik Mamoin, Hamoitze Mechaveri Oliver Raya, says the Gemara. Isvi Rabbi Di Barabin, Lur Rapopo. Rabbi Di Barabin was sitting with Rapopo, and Rapopo said over the Salach of him Rav, and he asked him a kasha from a Toisefta. And this is going to be a long winded Toisefta. And at the very end, we're going to get to the punchline. But first, the Gemara is going to bring this Toisefta and analyze it. Arba Matnois Anim Shevaker. The four types of Matnois Anim, not Matnois Kuna, but Matnois Anim. These are Matnois that have to go to the army. That involve a kerem, a vineyard. Number one, haperet, v'ha'ululois, v'ha'shikcha, v'ha'peya. So what's peret? Peret is to the kerem, what leket is to an ordinary field. So peret is that while you're collecting the grapes from your vineyard, if some grapes fall, assuming you meet the criteria of hilchas peret, you have an obligation to leave it there for the aniyim. Oilavois are certain unripened grapes, where the Torah says you have to leave that for the aniyim as well. Shikha is if you left some bundles, you left something on the ground, and pay is the corner of the field. All of those things belong to the ani. They all apply specifically to a kerem. Mishalosh shevet tfuah, an ordinary field of tfuah, doesn't have four matnas aniyim, only has three. It has a leket. Again, that's the same as peret by the kerem. There's nothing called oilalois, but it has shikha and pei. Shnaim shevi ilon. A tree has two. Hashikha v'apei. Kulam em bem tevis anolabayim. The halach is by all of them, there's no tevis anolabayim. What does that mean? That means the kohen, or the owner, I should say, can't decide who he wants to give it to. So if an ani comes to your field and he says, I want to take the pei, you can't say, no, I have it reserved for a pei, for an ani that's my friend. I want him to have it. There's no tevis anah. You have to give it to whoever comes to him. Afilu ani shebe Yisrael meitzim yodeh. If you have an ani shebe Yisrael, he qualifies as someone that's allowed to take Matnas Aniyim himself, but he happens to own a field, so you don't say that, being that he's an Ani, and he qualifies for Matnas Aniyim, so what's the point in me giving my own Matnas Aniyim? No, the halach is, he has to give Matnas Aniyim. Maiser Ani, HaMeschalik B'tech Beis, what about Maiser Ani? So Maiser Ani was one of the additional Maisers that you had to give. So we know Truma, we know Maiser, and depending on the fiscal year, the year of the Shemitah cycle, that determined whether you had to also, in addition to Truma and Maiser, give Maisa Sheni or give Maisa Ani? The first, the second, the fourth, and the fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, you gave Maisa Sheni. The third and the sixth year, you gave Maisa Ani. So Maisa Ani, the halach is Yesh by Tovas on all the Bailam. So an Ani can't walk into your house and take Maisa Ani. You get to decide which Ani you want to give your Maisa Ani to. Even if your Ani should be Yisrael, you have a Chiyuv to give Maiser Ani. Vishar Matnes Kuhuno, as it relates to the Matnes Kuhuno, Kugoyin. Hazroya Velochayim Vakevo. Ein Moitzin, Oison, Loimi Koyin Lekoyin, Veloimi Levi Lelevi. So if a Koyin shechts an animal, you don't force him to give the Zroya Lechayim in the Keva to another Koyin. Additionally, Veloimi Levi Lelevi. Pasha, that's referring to which Matanois goes to a Levi? There's only one. Maiser Rishon. Maiser Rishon goes to a Levi. So the halacha is, you don't force No, the Trumas Meiser is what the Levi has to give to the Kohen from his Meiserisha. So if a Levi has a field, he doesn't have to now take Meiserisha and give it to another Levi. What's the end of the Brisa? Meaning, the Brisa said that there's certain matnos aniyim that even an ani has to give. So even though he's an ani, he himself is obligated, or he himself is allowed to take matnos aniyim, but if he has a field, he gives matnos aniyim himself. So he gives it to another ani. Maaser ani, it's true for peret, and oilovois, and shekrempeh, and leket. So even though he himself is an ani, so he could be on the receiving end, it doesn't matter. If you have a field, and it's the third of the 6 years, you're going to have to give your maaser ani. That's true for an ani to an ani. It's not true for a kohen to a kohen. It's not true for a levi to a levi. And the Braisa gave an example of kohen to kohen, and that is the Zeroy L'chaim in the Keva, which of course is going to be the punchline. That's why the Gemara brought this Braisa. But before we get to the punchline, Zok the Gemara. Arba matnas shev keren. Haperet v'oil shikha peh. We mentioned there's four types of matnas aniyim that involve the keren. What are they? Peret, oil, shikha, and peh. What's the makar to this? Siddiqsiv, it's learned out from different psukkim in the Torah. It says, v'charmacha loisa oilel. We learn, uperet karmacha loisa laket. V'ksiv, ki sivtsar karmacha. Loisa oilel acharecha. So again, the karmacha loisa oilel, that's oilel lois. Uferet karmacha loisa lakeit, that's peret. Then the pasuk says, ki sifzer karmacha loisa oilel acharecha. Amar Rav Levi acharecha zu shikcha. Acharecha means something that you left behind. You don't go back for. Hedi no peya. Gomer acharecha acharecha means ayachs. Dechsiv ki sach veit zeitzcha loisa far acharecha. Tonif Rabbi Shmosh leisit tofar temimeno, which means pay. So either way, the mitzvah peret and oilel lois are mafurish in the Torah. Shikcha I know because it says ach. Acharecha and Migzeres Shava, I learn Peya as well. Shloisha Shabbat Tfuah. How do you know the three Matnas Aniyim of Tfuah? Halekech Hashikcha VaPeya. Dechsev. It's also learned out from Sukkim. It says Uve Kutzruchem as Ksir Artzuchem Loisachalu Paas Sotcha BeKutzrucha VeLeket Kitzircha. So you have Peya and you have Leket, and then it says Ki Sixtor Tzircha BeSotcha VeShachachta Oy MeBasada. So you have Shikcha. So you have all three. It's Mefurish. Shnayim Shav Ilan. How do you know the two by Ilan Shikcha and Peya? Hashikcha. That's how you know peya. Acharecha ze shikcha. The kulon with regards to all of these matnas anim that were just mentioned. Ein behem toivas hanala b'aylam. What does it mean? That you can't decide which ani you want to give it to. So if an ani comes and he wants to take it, you have to let him take it. My time, what's the reason for it? Aziva ksiv bahu, because it says in the Torah, aziva. So when the Torah talks about these matnas aniyim, it doesn't say you should give it to the ani, but rather the Torah says, la ani v'lager tazoiv oisai. Rashi says in some of the psukim, it doesn't say the word tazoiv, but it says, la ani v'lager yiyu. You should let it be to the ani and the ger. The point is, it doesn't say nesina. If the Torah would say give it, that would mean you have a schus to go ahead and decide who you want to give it to. There's a mandomer in Shas that holds tevis ana mamoid. It could be there's some chayshemish but value in tevis ana. But the Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says leave it for the ani. I mean that it says leave it to the ani. That's the Torah's way of saying that you don't even have tevis ana. I once heard from Reb Shmuel Yankiv. He said that when a ger comes to be megayer, so there's a whole list of mitzvahs that you're supposed to tell him. Mitzvahs chamurais, and then you tell him some of the kalos, and then it says you tell him the mitzvah of leket shikra and peya. And he asks, why leket shikra and peya? Because it's tzedakah, you want to show that Jews are charitable, we have gemachin, and we do so much chesed. So tell him about the mitzvah of tzedakah. Tell him, nosring titein loy. Tell him, pasayach tiftach ez yotcha loy. So Reb Shmuel Yankiv said that in leket shikcha and peya, there's a tremendous oimek. The oimek is, it's not even yours. You don't even have toivis hana. La'ani v'la'ger tazay v'yisoy. You can't even decide who you're giving it to. It's not the pshat that Hashem gave it to you, and now you could decide, you could be the balabas, who I'm going to give it to. No, the halacha is that you have no bailus whatsoever on this money. That's what we take away from La'oni v'la'ger tazavoysoy, and that's the lesson that we're teaching the ger, that's ba'al lehizkar. Either way, v'afilu ani shebi Yisrael ma'isiyin noyisim yodei. The halach is that even an ani has to give leket, shikcha, and peya, and peret, and oilu lois. How do you know that? Chsiv v'leket, tzircha, lois, salaket, la'oni v'la'ger tazavoysoy. So Pasha, what the Pasuk is saying is, v'leket, tzircha, lois, salaket, kama, la'oni v'la'ger tazavoysoy. What should you do? Don't take it. Rather, you should leave it for the ani and the ger. But the way we dash in the pasuk is v'leket kitzircha lois salake la'ani lahazer ani al shaloi. That even the ani has the halacha of v'leket kitzircha lois salake. So the drush is literally the opposite of what the Pashup Shad is. The Pashup Shad is leave it for the Ani. The Drush is that no, even the Ani has the obligation of a leket kitzircha loisalakidu. So leket shikcha peya peret oilus, there's no tevesano. Maiser Ani, you do have tevesano. What does that mean? My timer? Nesino ksiva be. Because there the Torah does say nesino. By the matnas aniyim, there's no mention of the word nesino. It says tazoiv, it says yiyu. That's coming to teach me that there is no tevesano. But when it comes comes to Maiserani, the Torah says Nesina, and therefore you do have Torah Sarani. You can decide which honey you want to give it to. Filu Anish Yisrael Metzina Nois Meyadoi. How do you know that? Dam Rabbi Lo Gomer Lager Lager Mihasa Mala Halon. Just like by Leked Muzer Ani Al Shalai, we just brought the drasha to teach me that even the Ani has an obligation to give these Matnas Aniim Afkan. So too, when it comes to Maiserani, Muzer Ani Al Shalai. The Bryson continued and said the Shar Matnas Kuhuna, as it relates to the other Matnas Kuhuna. Kigoy. Hazroya v'halicha yayim v'akeva ein moitzi enoisan. There the halach is, you're not moitzi. Loi mi kayin l'kayin v'loi mi levi l'levi. So again, what's the signum of the Braisa? The Braisa is saying that matnas aniyim, even an oni is obligated to give. Whether it's peret, oilalois, like a chikopeya, if an oni has a field that's now obligated in these matnas aniyim, even though he himself is an oni, so you take it from one pocket, you put it to the other pocket. But there's an obligation of matnas aniyim. When it comes to the matana of a kohen to a kohen, or the matana of a levi to a levi, there you don't have that halacha. What was the Bryce's example of the matana of a kohen to a kohen, that there is no obligation? That's the Zroi L'chaim in the Keva. And what's Pashup Shah? Because the kohen has no obligation of Zroi L'chaim in the Keva. And that's essentially what the Bryce is saying, something that we're going to see in the next staff very, very much in detail, that a kohen does not have an obligation from his own animals to give the Zroi L'chaim in the Keva. But what's the Gemara's diik? It sounds like only a Kayin doesn't have to give to a Kayin. Hami Levi L'Kayin might see him. It sounds like a Levi does have to give to a Kayin. A Kayin doesn't have to give to a Kayin, but a Levi does have to give to a Kayin. Am Ikriyam. And if that's the case, you see from here that a Levi is called Am. And if a Levi is called Am, it's a Kashan Rav. Rav was Mesafkali Ikriyam Alo Ikriyam. See, he said a Levi doesn't have to give. You know why? Because I'm Moitzim Echaveroi. Oh, all right. From here, it's Mashmi does have to. It's only the Kayin that doesn't have to give. But it sounds like the Levi really does have to give, says the Gemara. No. When the Braisa said, V'loi mi Kayin l'Kayin, Kigoyin hazroi l'chaim in keva, it meant Kigoyin hazroi v'loi zroi. Zroi is just an example of a matnas kuna that goes to a Kayin. But although the Braisa chose Zroi l'chaim in keva as the example, it's really an inaccurate example. Because really from the Braisa, you could be medayik that the Levi has a chiyuv, and the Levi does not have a chiyuv, maybe, when it comes to the Zroi L'chaim in the Keva. So if that's the case, and it's only Kegoyin Zroi L'chaim in Keva, what then would be an example where the halach is v'loi Kayin L'Kayin, but Levi L'Kayin, yeah? Says the Gemara, my new, my Sirishin. My Sirishin goes to a Kayin. We don't take from a Kayin to give to another Kayin, but we would take from a Levi and give to a Kayin. So the Diyak is true as it relates to my Sirishin, but the Diyak is not true as it relates to Zroi L'chaim Akeva. I didn't it say Kigoyin Zroi L'chaim Akeva. Yeah, it said Kigoyin. As, for example, something similar. Didn't say Zroi L'chaim Akeva. It used it as an example, but we don't mean that example. We mean something that's similar to that example. Okay. Either way, but the Gemara asks, my Sirishin, the Levi, this whole price doesn't make sense. Because you're telling me that what's an example of something that goes to a Kayin, where we say the Kayin doesn't have to give it to a Kayin, but the Levi does have to give it to a Kayin? My Sirishin. Number one, my Sirishin doesn't go to a Kayin, my Sirishin goes to a Levi. It says in the Torah that you're supposed to give my Sirishin to the Levi. So the Gemara says, Kriblazim and Azariah. This price is going like Kriblazim and Azariah. Time you learn to the price, and this is mentioned throughout Shas. Truma the Kayin, my Sirishin, the Levi, the Rabbi Akiva. Akiva says you give truma to a kohen, you give my sirishin to a levi. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, imer af l'kohen. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says no, you can give my sirishin even to a kohen. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, my sirishin does go to a kohen. But the Gemara says, "Amid Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah af l'kohen, l'kohen v'le levi miyamar." It's true, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said that you could give my sirishin to a kohen, but he never said that you have to give it to a kohen. And you can't give it to a Levi. From the fact that we're saying v'loy mikayin l'kayin, but yeah, from a Levi to a kayin, sounds like you can't give it to a Levi. Because if you can give it to a Levi, then you shouldn't take it from the Levi and give it to the kayin. So the Gemara says, "In it's not true." The baser the kansinu Ezra. This machloikis, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva is on the deraisa level. Rabbi Akiva held me deraisa, my solution only goes to a Levi. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah held me deraisa, you can give it either to a Levi or to a kayin. But then Ezra came and he canceled the Levim. Rashi says that you're not going to find this anywhere Mefurish in Sefer Ezra or in Sefer Nehemiah, which Rashi often refers to as Sefer Ezra. You're not going to find the Mefurish, but rather you need a Teresh Baal Peh for this. But the Gemara says in many places that when Ezra came up in the beginning of Bayasheni, he was very disappointed that the Levim who were living in Bavel did not make. They didn't go up to Eretz Yisrael. And he was upset that there were no Levim. He was looking for Levim to do the Avodah, Mishayrim, and Shayrim, and he couldn't find anybody. So he went ahead and he said,
I'm going to punish the entire Sheva Levi. His punishment was he's going to take away Meiser Rishon from them. Says the Gemara that even though Rabbi Elazar and Azariah held Midai Raisa, you can give the Meiser Rishon to a Levi or to a Kayan, that was before Ezra's Knas. But after Ezra made the Knas, it was only to a Kayan, not to a Levi. Incidentally, Tosfos speaks out throughout Shas that Rabbi Elazar and Azariah, who held, this is important, that Midai Raisa, you can give Meiser Rishon to a Levi or to a Kayan. Ezra's Knas was that you can only give it to a Kayan, not to a Levi. Whereas, according to Rabbi Akiva, who held that Midai Raisa, you could only give it to a Levi and not to a Kayan, Ezra's Knas was that you can give it even to a Kayan. So meaning the Knas was Nechais Darga. They lowered it one Madrega. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Midai Raisa, you can give it to a Levi to a Kayan. What was Ezra's Knas? You can only give it to a Kayan. Whereas Akiva, who held that Midai Raisa, you can give it to only to a Levi. So according to him, what was the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan was not only to a Levi, but you can give it even to a Kohen. But either way, says the Gemara, the boss of the Kansinu Ezra, you have to give it to a Kohen. You don't have the right anymore to give it to a Levi. I mean that's the case. So as it relates to this Braisa, it's L'Kohen Dafka, it's not L'Levi. But says the Gemara, Eima, the Kansinu Ezra, L'Yavinu L'Hu, Mishko Minayo Miyama, the Braisa still is not so Gishmak. Because even if you want to tell me the Braisa is going coin to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the boss of the Kansinu Ezra, so that's why you give Meiser Rishon only to a Kohen, not to a Levi. But would you take it from a Levi? Ezra's Knas went so far. He said, not only could the Levi not get Meiser Rishon anymore, but we could even take Meiser Rishon from a Levi. That sounds like maybe we're pushing it already a little bit. The Gemara says, you're right, I'm asking. There's no way that was Ezra's Knas. If that's the case, then what does the Braisa mean? The Braisa said that you don't take Zroi L'chaim in the Keva from a Kohen and give it to a Kohen. Sounds like from a Levi, you would give it to a Kohen. The Gemara said, it's a Kasha Ra. So the Gemara said, it doesn't mean Zroi L'chaim in the Keva. It means Kegoin Zroi L'chaim in the Keva. What's similar to the Zroi L'chaim in the Keva? Meiser Rishon. I hear. But Meiser Rishon you would take from a Levi and give to a Kohen? After the analysis of the Gemara, of the Machloikis, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the before and after with the Knas of Ezra, that doesn't either work. So what then does the Braisa mean? The Braisa means Kegoin Zroi L'chaim in the Keva, but not Kegoin referring to Meiser Rishon, but rather Meiner Reishis HaGeiz. Reishis HaGeiz, as we'll see, is also similar somewhat to the Zroya, the L'chayayim, and the Keva. Let's talk to the Gemara. So we have Rav's Halacha. Rav was Mesopik, whether the Levi is Ikriyam or the Levi is Lo Ikriyam. And as a result, Rav said, we can't take the Zroya, the Lichoyayim and the Kever from a Levi. You know why? Because if we're not sure if he has an obligation to give it, so you have a Sofik Mamoin, Sofik, whether he's obligated in Din, it's not a Sofik in Metzias, it's a Sofik in Din. Sofik Mamoin, what's the halacha? Hamoitzeme Chaveri, all of it right. Fake the Gemara Kasha. Is that true? Tashma Zeakla from a Braisa. Called Ovashu Bikedusha. Any type of Matnes Kahuna that has Kedusha that's in the possession of a Levi, we're discussing a Levi, could go in Truma, but Truma Smaisa Vechala. So Truma Smaisa Chal, all have Kedusha. Vizor eats any of the aforementioned, he's Chayav Misa. So did halacha is Maitzinais in the other. If the Levi doesn't want to give it, we force him to give it. Any type of matana that's not kadosh, kigoyin, hazroya, v'alchayayin, v'akeva. We don't force it to give it. So what do you see from here? That we don't obligate the Levi to give this royal chayim in the keva. It sounds like b'teris vaday, not b'teris sofik. So how could Rav have a sofik whether the Levi's chayim in the royal chayim in the keva? It's mefurish in this braisa that he's not chayiv. Frektoisa kasha. What do you see in this braisa? You see that he's not chayiv? What was Rav's psak? That he's not chayev. Maybe the Braisa was also Masafkele. How do you know that the Braisa is saying it b'teres vaday? Maybe the Braisa is also saying it b'teres sofik. Says Tosis v'yesh loymar d'loy mashmalei she'yeh sofik latana. Interesting Tosis. Tosis says that Braisas are not usually mentioned as saying a halacha based on sofik. Rav and Amoira, even though he's a Tana Upalik, but Rav and Amoira could have a sofik. But a Tana, it's not mashmalei that it's a sofik. So if the Braisa is saying that the Levi is not chayiv, it sounds like he's vadi not chayiv. What's the pshat? Because he's lo yikriyam. If that's the case, freik the Gemara, Akasha, and for the Gemara, you have to say the same teres that we said earlier, that even though the Braisa mentions adovah she'enu b'kedusha, that the Levi is not chayiv to give, as Roy l'chayim ekeva, doesn't mean Roy l'chayim ekeva. Kegoin zroya, v'lo zroya, u'mayni, u'may serishon, u'lebasar, dekensinu, Ezra Toshma, another Kasha. If somebody shechs on behalf of a Kohen, on behalf of a non-Jew, so we'll see more about this in tomorrow's daf. The halacha is that the person that's obligated to give the Zroi L'chaim in the Keva is the butcher. The Sheikhid has an obligation to give it, which is a Chiddush. So if Reuven shechting Shimon's behema, you would think it's Shimon's obligation. It's actually Reuven's obligation. It's a Chivas Gavra on the Sheikhid More about that in tomorrow's daf. The Braisa says it's for that stating that if somebody shechts a Kohen's animal, or let's say in a Yehudi's animal, even though he himself is a czar, and the obligation of Zroel Chaim and Keva is on the Sheikhe, still he's potter. Meaning, even though the obligation is the Sheikhe, and the Sheikhe is a Gavra who's technically subject to the laws of Israel, the Chaim and the Keva, but if he's shechting a person's animal with that person, had he been the Sheikh, it would have been Pater, he's going to be Pater as well. Thus the halacha, ha-sheichet, a czar that shechts, v'koyinu levi kechav, and Pater menamatan. It says the Gemara, levi li Yisrael chayiv. It sounds like if he's shechting for a levi, he would be chayiv. What's the kasha? You see clearly that a levi is chayiv. So the Gemara, leitema holo levi uli Yisrael chayiv, eleema holi Yisrael chayiv. No, don't make that deal. Even though it says ha-sheichet l'koyin, don't be medaye call a levi would be chayiv, because a levi would also be potter. Says the Gemara, Avul levi, my potter. See, tell me if you shecht on behalf of a levi, you're going to be potter. Yehachi listening, Ashoich al levi, levi kechav and potter man amatonis. Then say a bigger chiddush. Why are you telling me Ashoich al koyin is potter? Say the bigger chiddush. Even Ashoich al levi, v'oy noch akasha. Tanya, we learned to the brayso. Ashoich al koyin, levi kechav and potter man amatonis. Here the brayso elaborated on the Mishnah did, as it often does, and says that not only Ashoich al koyin, levi kechav is potter, but the brayso gives me a sefer and says levi uli Yisrael chayiv. Here it says, Mefurish, if you shecht for a levi, you're going to be chayiv. Zok the Gemara, tiyufta de Rav. You don't see that often. Amalok Rav, a Rav said, no, not so pashit. Tanoi, even though this Bryce is Mefurish, not like Rav, because the Bryce says Mefurish that a levi is obligated in Zorei L'chaim and Keva, which means that he's Ikriyam, but really it's a machloikis tanoi. Tanya, we'll into the Bryce. The Chiper is Mikdash HaKodesh. The context of this pasuk is Vayikro Perek Tezayin, which is of course Achrim Mois, which is of course the Seida Avoida Yom Kippur. And the pasuk says, what was that? Avoid them Yom Kippur Mechapa for? Oh, it's the thing that we got kapara for on the holiest day of the year. Tumas Mikdash Bekadosh Shavuos Tav Beis. And the pasuk says Vechiper. That's another shout out. Es Mikdash Hakodesh Ves Oyel Moed. So it's a very wordy pasuk. Generally, high level, what the pasuk is saying is, on Yom Kippur, you get kapara for Tumas Mikdash v'Kodeshav. But the pasuk says, you're going to get kapara for Mikdash HaKodesh Oyum Moed Mizbeach, Koyhanim Am Yichap Ezok Tegemara. How do you read every word in this pasuk? How do you darshan it? Machlik is Tanam. V'Chipres Mikdash HaKodesh Zalofnai V'Lofnim. That's referring to Tumah that took place in the Kodesh HaKodesh. Oyum Moed Zahichel. That's Tumah that took place in the Mizbeach, Kimashmoy, means the Mizbeach. Yichaper, what does that mean? Elu Azorois, Koyhanim, Kimashmoy, Am Hakohol, Elu Yisrael, Yichaper, Elu Halavir. That's one price. V'tanya idoch, Yichaper, Elu Avodim, Yichaper is not coming to be Marba the Levian, but it's coming to be Marba, Tumos, Mikdash V'Kodoshev, that involved in Eved Kanani. Now, according to the second price, so how then do you know Levian? It's learned out from the Alkol Am Hakol. So it sounds like we have a machlokes between two prices, whether the Alkol Am could be Marba Levi or can't be Marba Levi. One price needs another word, Yichaper, to be Marba Levi, even though it said already the Am. But I need a special pasuk to be Marba Levi. Over here, you have another braisa that says, no, I know Levi from V'chol Am HaKol. Yichaper, I don't need to be Marba Levi. It's coming to be Marba Eved Kenani. So the Gemara speaks out the Ketanoi. My Labba HaKam Ivlgi. Doesn't it sound like this is the Machlekes Tanam? The Mar Savar Ikriyam. Umar Savar Lo Ikriyam, says the Gemara. So even though Rav is connected to braisa, but you see over here, it's not so. But the Gemara says, V'rab monav shach, isvir le'kaitano lemo, v'isvir le'kaitano lemo. So at the end of the day, it comes out that really Rav's suffix is two brises. So l'chayra monav shach, Rav should have been machria, either like this brise, like that brise. Why was Rav stumped? Why did Rav end up in a place of suffix? Says the Gemara, lemo, misafkel, kaitano lemo. So the Gemara, misafkel, kaitano, kaitano. You have to say, Rav was misopix. After all this discussion, at the end of the day, Rav just wasn't sure. He was misopix. He didn't know if Levi's called on me. He's not called on. He knew there were brises. He knew there were mashmois. But at the end of the day, Rav blibed with a suffix. Rav was mesafkale. Thus, Rav's halacha that we don't take the Zroi L'chaim in the Kever from the Levi, not Betoiris Vadai, but simply because I'm not sure whether he's chayiv or not chayiv. And to the extent that we're not sure, it's a suffix moment the halacha is going to be Hamoitzim Echaveri Oliver Ryan. The Gemara concludes Dorash Mireimar Hilchas Akavasim the Rav. The halacha is like Rav that we don't take Matnas Kahuna from a Levi. Misafik, because Hamoitzi Mechaveri Oliver Raya, and the Allah is like Rav Chizda, that if somebody's mazik, matnas kuna, if somebody eats matnas kuna, he's potter, iba yisei makra, iba yisei masfara, because matnas kuna is viewed as mamain she'ein loy toivin exa.
The Haftorah The first day Rosh Hashanah is Shmuel Aleph, Perek Aleph. It's the story of Chana, Eli, Shmuel. It's what is known as Mafter Chana. Poshet, the reason that the Haftorah of the first day Rosh Hashanah is Mafter Chana is based on a Gemara in Mesechtes Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Amud Beis. The Gemara says, B'Rosh Hashanah Nifketa Sara Rachel V'Chana. Chana had her Yeshua on Rosh Hashanah. Hence, it's very befitting that on Rosh Hashanah, we tell her story. The truth is, Al Pi the raid that we've been talking about the last 2 weeks, there's a little bit of an oimek. We've mentioned so many times that the Ramban and Al Pi Darkoi Rabbeinu Bechaya, it's also in the Rashbam, say that the Torah describes Rosh Hashanah as a Zichron Teruah because Rosh Hashanah is a Yoim that's Mesugal for a person's Zichronos to be Oila LaHakadosh Baruch Hu L'Tayv. Meaning, there's a theme that you find throughout the Torah. It goes all the way back to Parshas Tetzaveh, where we were looking as a nation, Bechlal, and as individuals, Befrat, to be seen, to be remembered, to be recognized by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal say, Kol Zman She Yisrael Niskaren, Ein Niskaren El Yeshuas. And that's what we've always been trying to achieve. The Avod of the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash, literally his big day kahuna, the Eifed and the Choshen, the Torah says with Bak Tzener, was all about through that Klal Yisrael would have a Zikaron. In Parshas Baloischem, Bamidbar Perek Yod, there was an idea of so that in a time of need, if there's going to be a milchama or any tzar hatzoyreschem, you're going to pull out the chatzoytzreis, you're going to blow with it truois, v'neskartem v'neshatem. Or during happy times, where you're besimcha, and you want to channel that simcha towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, uskatem b'chatzoytzreis, and then again, v'yu lechem lezikar. And say the Rishonim, that in the most simple pshutai shal mikra, on Rosh Hashanah, what we're doing is we're trying to achieve a zikaron tov by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every yid wants on Rosh Hashanah that the Eved should see him, he should recognize him, he should remember him, and he should remember him l'tov. And the way we achieve that is ubameh b'shofar, we do that through the shofar. Hence, that's this idea of zikaron teruah. If you go through the psukim in the story of Chana, so the pasuk says with regards to Chana that she was very, very distraught over the fact that she didn't have any children. Vatidor neder, and at some point she makes a neder. Vatoyman, she said, Hashem tzvokos, im ro'i sireh ba'oni amosecho, if you're going to see my pain, uzchartani, and you're going to remember me, v'lo yisishkach, and you won't forget, es amosecha, your maidservant, v'nosatu la'moscha zera anoshim, v'chulei v'chulei. Fast forward several psukim later, when Chana finally has her Yeshua, the pasuk says, v'yeda al'kona es Chana ishtoi, v'yeda. The story of Chana is a story of Zichronos. It's a story of Zikaron Tov. And the truth is, if you take a look at Rashi, in Mesechtes Rosh Hashanah, on that Gemara that we just quoted, where the Gemara says, B'Rosh Hashanah Nifkeda Sara Rachel V'Chana. Zok Tehillah Rashi, what does it mean? Nifkeda Ba Zichronom L'Tova V'Nigzor Aleim Heroyim. They were waiting to be remembered. They wanted this Zikaron Tov. Eibushta, how come you're remembering all the women and you're giving them a child, but you don't remember me? You forgot about me. Remember me. That was the tefillah of Chana. The tefillah of Chana literally was Uzchartani v'loy sishkach es amosecho. And then when the Yeshua came, it was Vayizkoreh Hashem. And the yom that's mesugal for that inyan is literally the day of Rosh Hashanah. So there is no better time in the year to be ma'ira the story of Chana, because it's not just punkt Chana was nifkida b'Rosh Hashanah. Chana was nifkida b'Rosh Hashanah because she tapped in. She was able to leverage the special skula of the day. It's a day of zichron trua, and she was zoicha that the Eibushter remembered her on this day. That's the Yom HaZikar. And it's all very, very posh in terms of understanding why the Mafter, the Haftorah of the first day Rosh Hashanah is the story of Mafter Chana. It's Yodua, Chazal say, it's a Gemara. in Mesechtes Brachis and Daf Lamed Aleph Amar Aleph Amar Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna said, Kame Hilchasa Gav Rivasa Ikele Mishma Mahani Kroy Dechan. That if you go through the parasha of Chana, there's so many big halachas. Not just Kame Hilchasa. Kame Hilchasa is a hard word to read. Gav Rivasa. Halachas chashuvos. There are many, many major halachas that are meant to be taken out of the story of Chana. This story of Chana goes down as one of the avos in terms of teaching us how exactly a yid is supposed to deal when he's an eis tzara, and specifically how a person is supposed to go ahead and daven. And I think it's kedai to focus on one point in the story of Chana, which is nogeya tefila bichlal. But it's negeya tefila on Rosh Hashanah befrat. That is, Reb Chaim Volozhin, in his Nefesh HaChayim, his magnum opus, and this is in Shar Beis, Perek Yud Aleph and Perek Yud Beis, he talks about how a yid is supposed to daven. And he says that although a yid who davens, v'shteitzach erlich b'kavano, so he's going to think about all the things he needs, and he's going to use this opportunity that he has, his several minutes in the Oval Office, so to speak, to try to get anything that it is he can possibly try to get. That's what you would do if you sat in the presence of a Melech Basav Adam, and that's usually the way people think and go about feel. Again, we're talking about the mindful people. They realize that there's an opportunity to have this audience with the Melech Malchei Amlachim, and they come up with a list and try to figure out what's important to them, and you go to the Eibishter, and you daven to the Eibishter for whatever it is you need. Says Reb Chaim Volozhin, that's not the right way to daven. And if a person davens like that, it's gevaldik, but at the same time, he's not going to get the maximum benefit that one can get through tefillah. And Reb Chaim Volozhin goes on to explain that really, the way a person's supposed to daven is not to make it about himself, but what he's supposed to do is he's supposed to make it about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A yid has to realize that imay anoichi b'tzara, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our father. Banim atam l'Hashem alaykechem. In fact, benkach u'benkach kruyim banim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us the way a father loves his child. In fact, we have no hasaka. The banim atam l'Hashem alaykechem is just a muscle that we were given to try to lesaber esoiz and have a little bit of a clue and an inkling and an understanding of what that love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has towards us is. But really, really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us much more than that. We can't describe, we have no hasag in terms of how much ahava HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us, which means that if we find ourselves in a moment of need, if we find ourselves in a eis tzara, what that essentially means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in that tzara, is in the blotter literally with us. Ima yonoichi b'tzara. Says Reb Chaim Volozhin, the way he's supposed to daven is, he's supposed to make it about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's supposed to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's supposed to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rifa'enu, I need a refuah. But not because I need a refuah and I'm in pain, but I know how much pain you're in because of the fact that I need a refuah. So, Eibishter, give me a refuah, so like this, you will not be Bitzar. And Baruch Aleinu, I need Parnasa. I'm struggling. I need Parnasa. And my struggles, I'm willing to put aside right now. But you know what concerns me? I know how much pain you're in over the fact that I'm struggling. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Aleinu, give me bracha so that you will not have to feel the Tzar HaShechina that I know you're feeling right now as a result of the fact that I'm in an Eis Tzar. And Reb Chaim Volozhin says that really, 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 this is the way you're supposed to daven. And he says that's the oimik, that tefillos were instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGdoyle k'neged the Karbonos Tamid. The Karbon Tamid was a Karbon Oyla, which was kuloi kolol. It went 100% for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's an oimik in that mashal, because tefillah really is also supposed to be 100% for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's supposed to be kula l'gvaya. It's supposed to be 100% for Hashem. Chaim Volozhin says that that's pshat in the Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in the end of the third parak of Masechtes Rosh Hashanah. V'hoyekar sheyorem Moshe yodei v'gava Yisrael. When Moshe Rabbeinu would lift his hands, this is describing when the Yidden were fighting against Amalek. So v'gava Yisrael, Klai Yisrael were minatzeach. Says the Mishnah, v'chi yodav shal Moshe oisei smolchama, ishoifrei smolchama. Is that the way the Jews fought wars? Right? We just figured out. We used to fight wars with Shoifers and Chatzotzeres. But they used to fight wars literally. Is that possible? When the Yidden would look klapi mailo, if not, they used to have an afilo. Says Reb Chaim V'lodzin Nefesh HaChaim. What's the oimik? The oimik is when they used to daven klapi mailo. When they had in Zindi Ebeshto, that's when they were miskabrim. But v'im lav, when they had themselves in mind, they said, I'm in an esara, hoyu noiflim, that's when they had an afilo. Dvarim neflam for Reb Chaim V'lodzin. And then toich dvarav, in the middle of this arichos hadvarim, he throws in one paragraph. He says, Ve'einenu harois benusach tfilas Rosh Hashanah. He says, take a look at the nusach tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, shehu mesudar meiroshay ve'atzoyfay, which is literally mesudar from beginning until end, rak al kfoid malchusa yisbarach shemay. It's 100% about kfoid malchusa yisbarach shemay. She tesaliki batchila koidim chet adam arishin. We're davening to the Eibishter that before chet was in the world, there was some molech, whatever that means, and we're davening, it should revert back to that. Says Reb Chaim V'lodzin, when you daven on Rosh Hashanah b'kavana, you see it clearly. It's so clear that's what's going on. The same is true for the nusach tefillah of the whole year. Even though it doesn't feel that way, right? When you damage my nasri during the week, it feels like it's all about me, 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 me. Give me more, give me more. I want this, I want that. You come up with a whole list of bakashas. That's what it sounds like. He said it's borrowed to any person that understands. Rather, the Oimik HaDvarim is that all tefillah, not just the tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, that's the Giloy, but really all tefillah is all about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. In Perek Yud Beis, in the middle of this Arichos, says Reb Chaim V'lodzin, that I believe this is Pshad in a Gemara Nifla in Mesechtes Brachas, in that sugya of all the Hilchasa Rav Ravasa that we learn out from Chana. The Gemara over there says, Rabbi Lazar is the Baal Memra. It says that Vatispalol Chana Al Hashem. Chana Davin Al Hashem. Says the Gemara Melamed, we learn from there that Chana was Hitiach Dvarim Klape Maila. She had Tainas Ta'kodesh Baruch Hu. It doesn't say Vatispalol El Hashem, Vatispalol Al Hashem. She Tich Dvarim Klape Maila, which literally means she came with Tainas. She came with Tainas. I understand. Why don't I have what I'm supposed to have? Why is it that my Sora Penina has it so good and me, I have to be in a situation where I have it so not okay? And from the words Al Hashem Chazal learned, that we see from here that she came with Tainas. And then Rabbi Lazar continued. He said that Moshe also was Itiach Tvarim Klapi Maila. You know, Moshe was also Matiach Tvarim Klapi Maila. How do you know that? Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Vayispalo Moshe El Hashem. Al Tikre El Hashem, Elo Al Hashem. So just like Chano was Itiach Tvarim Klapi Maila, says Rabbi Lazar, Moshe Rabbeinu, the same thing. Now, by Chana, it says, Vatispalachal Al Hashem. Al Hashem, Ki'ilu, I'm coming to you with Tainus. Where do you see it by Moshe? Because it says, El Hashem, and Al Tikri, El Hashem, El Al Hashem. Freit Reb Chaim V'lodzin. This Gemara is Mirafsin Igri Mamish. Bishloi Mechana, it says, Vatispalachana Al Hashem. Okay, what are you going to do? It says, Al Hashem. It doesn't say El Hashem. Hence, you have a diak. The diak is, Hitich Advarim Klapi Mailo. But by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, El Hashem. Al Tikri, El, El, Al, to be done, Moshe Rabbeinu. How could you do that? If it said Al, I think we would say Al Tikri Al Ela El to be done Moshe Lekav Schus. It says Vayispal Moshe El Hashem. Who gave Rabbi Lazar the license to change the word? To change the word and the meaning and the connotation to go ahead and be done, Moshe Rabbeinu Kavchoiv, says Reb Chaim V'lodzin, it's muchach mim koimai. It has to be. That our understanding of itiach form klapi mailo is not the poshib shot. There's an oimekid, there's a pnimius over here, says Reb Chaim V'lodzin. You want to know what the pnimius is? The pnimius is vatispalo chana el Hashem. She didn't daven to Hashem for herself, but rather it was vatispalo chana al Hashem. She didn't make it about herself. She made it about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al Hashem, vegan the Eibishter. She said, I'm not making it about me. But you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want this to be about you. You understand how much pain I'm in. You understand that I'm a maras nefesh. She made it 100%. She made it 100% about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was the skula where ultimately Chanu ends up having a Yeshua. And said, Rabbi Laz, I want you to know that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he davened, he did the same thing. It wasn't vayispalel for himself and even for Klal Yisrael El Hashem. It was vayispalel al Hashem. He tiach dvarim klapi mailo. He made it all about the Eibishter. And that's one of the hilchas of Rav Ravasa that we learn out from Chana. One of the halachas, right, because if you think about it, this whole sugi over here, Masech Tis Brachas, we learn all the unbelievable ways he's supposed to daven. And then all of a sudden, Rabbi Laza comes mit ein Shis. He throws in and he says, I want you to know, but stating that, Lamaisa Chana, she came, Itichat Varm Klapi Maila, she spoke with a chutzpah, with an azaz. Can't be, says Rav Chaim Volozhin. But the oimek is, it was hiticha dvarim klapi mailo. She made it all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not in the negative way, in the positive way. There's a tzar shechina. I understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you're struggling right now. And as a result, is this something you can do? You know, we just mentioned before that one of Rav Chaim Volozhin's Mar Mekoymes is the Mishnah in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah. V'hoyuka sheyorim Moshe es yadai. This Mishnah is Perikim Mishnah Ches in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah. What's this doing in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah? What's Pash Pshah? I mean, if it wasn't Erev Rosh Hashanah, it could be we wouldn't ponder this in such a clear, high definition way. But it struck me. Why is this Mishnah Masechtas Rosh Hashanah? So I looked it up a little bit. Pashup Pshat, if you look at the Yochanan Bayis Mishnayis, the Pashup Pshat is, because if you look at the previous Mishnah, the Mishnah talks about where somebody's Toikel, Toichabar, Oilo Toichados. It's the Sugya Mitzvichas Kavana, right? This in Bavli is Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavtes. Rosh Hashanah Chavtes is the famous Sugya Mitzvichas Kavana. And that's really the segue. The Hemshech is, we're talking about you have to have Kavana B'Shas Tkiya Shofar. That's what's going on in the Sugya. In fact, the last words in Mishnah Zayin is that if somebody was over Achiri Beis HaKnesses, Oishahoyah Beis HaYisamach Beis HaKnesses, V'shamah Kol Shofar Kom Megillah Im Kivan Libo Yatza V'mlav Lo Yatza Afal Pisha Zeh Shama V'zeh Shama Zeh Kivan Libo V'zeh Lo Kivan Libo. That is, you can hear Shofar and B'yotza, you can hear Shofar and not B'yotza. What does it depend on? Your Kavana. Zok the Mishnah, I have a good sushtal to that. Klal Yisrael, when they davened and they were mechabin, meshabin libin l'ashamayim, when they had, they were Kivan Libo, they were Yotza, and not. That's posh Shipshat and why this mission is tucked away. But it feels like it needs a little bit of more beer. It feels like it needs a little bit of oimek. I'll pee this Reb Chaim Volozhin. Davoid of Rosh Hashanah. In the words of Reb Chaim Volozhin, is Mesuda Meirosh Ve'atzoif Irak Al Kvoid Malchusa Yisparach Shemoy Shetisalik Batchila Koidem Chet Adam Arishin. And when a person davens a Rosh Hashanah, there's no question in the world that's the kavana. That's how you're supposed to do it. And Reb Chaim Volozhin said, "What's Exhibit A for this? It's the Mishnah of Rosh Hashanah. This is such a Rosh Hashanah diga Mishnah. This is the Mishnah that teaches up how the Yid is supposed to daven on Rosh Hashanah. And it's even more than that. It's the Kivan Libay of the Shofar. The Shofar is our tefillah, that is the tzaka, that is the ultimate tefillah that we have in Rosh Hashanah. Im kivan liba yotza means when you're mechavim for the tzara shechina, when a person does that, then oh, he's going to be zoicha to all the yeshuas. He's going to be zoicha to all the yeshuas, just like in the time of Mechavim. It has to be, otherwise why is this Mishnah over here tucked away in the end of the third? Okay, maybe a little apidrosh, but has to be apidrosh. That maybe is what's going on over here. So again, Reb Chaim Volozhin is teaching us a very big yesoid. The yesoid of Reb Chaim Volozhin is that when a person davens, really, if he can make it not about himself, he can make it about the Tzara Shechina, he can appreciate Bona Matam L'Hashem Alekechem, you know, Noichi B'Tzara, that's where all the Yeshuas come from. He says it klar. He says, when a person knows how to daven like that, that's the koyach ha-tefillah, that's the skulas ha-tefillah. You know, people daven, the tefillahs aren't always answered. There's different cheshbonis that the Eibishter has. Bahadi kafshe d'rachmano lamo lanu. But at the same time, this is a huge one, maybe the biggest one. When a person makes it not about himself, there's an incredible koyach that he's going to be able to come to with his tefillah. Says Reb Chaim Volozhin, it's true for all tefillah, but it's b'myuchad true by Rosh Hashanah. Because by Rosh Hashanah says, Reb Chaim Volozhin, it's mufurish in the nosach ha-tefillah. So there's no question in the world that when a yid davens on Rosh Hashanah, really that's the gisha, that's what the tzugang is supposed to be. It's a beautiful shtickle. It's Reb Chaim Volozhin. It's nefesh ha-chaim sharbeis. This is Yisoida Chassidus v'Sheirish Avoida Atmima in the world of Tefillah. That's the good news. The bad news is a hard madrega. It's not an easy thing to do. How many people can come to a madrega where they feel the Tzara Shechina? How many people can daven on the Yom Adin, on the Yom HaZikaron, and not make, this is their opportunity for Zikaron. You're not going to make it about yourself. And additionally, it's Pashat, right? Nefesh HaChaim is a real Kabbalistic work. And to really come to the madrega of davening for the Tzara Shechina, you have to be versed in Inyanei Kabbalah, an Inyan that's above our pay grade. Stating that, I think there's another Nusach, a more diluted Nusach, but it's Emes La'amitai, where all of us maybe can, on our madrega, come to this madrega of not making it 100% about ourselves. And that is, we're about to start saying Avinu Malkeinu. A lot of Siddurim, by Avinu Malkeinu Kasfenu B'Sefer Parnasa V'Chalkala, insert a tefillah. This tefillah was written by the Chida. And it's a tefillah for Parnasa. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful tefillah. The Chidas wrote as follows: Yirotzei milfanecha, Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu, Hakel Hagadol, Hagibor v'Hanoira, Asei l'mancha u'leman shem Hagadol v'Hakadosh. Act for your sake and for the sake of your name that is great and sacred. Hayotzei mipasuk, it's one of the Shemas, we can't read it. Varikoisi lechem bracha ad b'lidoi, u'mipasuk nasa aleinu or panecha Hashem. Shetazmin lanu, that you prepare for us, v'sitein lanu, and that you give us, u'l'chalasmuchem b'shulchanenu, and all who are dependent upon our table, hayoim today, u'b'choyoim, and every day, parnasaseinu u'mezoinoseinu b'milu yuv'revach, our sustenance and our food, parnusa b'laz, with fullness and with abundance, b'chavad b'lev v'iser, with honor and not in a forbidden manner, lo'y ba'amu v'lo'y b'toyrech b'yigir rabba, without exertion, without bother, and without excessive effort, rak b'nachas u'b'shalva u'b'hashket, rather with ease, with tranquility, and with calmness. Why? Kidei shenuchal lavoid avoidoscha tohoira v'akedoisha b'liter desar parnasa. That we be able to perform your service that is pure and holy without the distraction of obtaining sustenance. The Chida wrote a tefillah about parnasa. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give us parnasa. That's not the way you dance. Asei l'mancho l'man shem HaGadol v'HaKadosh. You're right, don't do it for me. Do it for you. But there's a relatable punchline to this. You know why I'm asking you to give me parnasa? You know what I mean when I'm saying do it for you? Maybe I'm not in the madrega to do it for the Tzara Hashchina, but rather, because what do I want parnasa for? What do I want it for? I want it to be able to be a yid, and I should be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Parnasa. That's what yid didn't want. Right? That's the deep down, the rotzen pnimi of the yid. This is what I'm looking for. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm asking you to do it for yourself. I'm not fooling anybody by thinking that I'm on the madrega that I say tikkun chatzos, that I can properly, if I care, if we are, ashrecha b'olam hazeh v'tov lach b'olam haba. But this is something everybody can relate to, because let's be honest, that's really what everybody wants. What does the yid want? Kidei shenuchal lavad abidos chatoir v'akdosh b'litir des parnasa. So you're right, I'm asking for parnasa, I'm asking. But at the same time, I'm asking you to give me so that I can give back to you, and I can serve you in an appropriate way. Because right now, my life is too overwhelming, I can't serve you properly. But if you take care of me and you give me a bissel mer yishva das, in this tefillah, it's in the form of parnasa, then you'll see I'm going to serve you properly. There's another tefillah that was written in the last few hundred years, about 100 years before the tefillah of the Chida. This tefillah is way more famous. By the way, this tefillah we just mentioned is in the art scroll Machzer by every single Avinu Malkeinu. I think in the Siddur as well. There's another tefillah. This tefillah was written by the Shla. Everyone knows this tefillah. The tefillah is Shla. That you didn't say Erev Chodesh Sivan. So the tefillah begins as follows: Atu Hashem Elokeinu, Ad Shelo Barasa Ha'olam, Va'ata Hashem Elokeinu Mishabarasa Ha'olam, Umeyolam Va'adolam Atokel. I'm skipping. Valkiyum Ha'olam, Valkiyum Atayra Balonu Memcha Hashem Elokeinu Shnei Tzivuyim. You gave us two mitzvahs. Kosavte B'Tayrascha Pruurvu, VeKosavte B'Tayrascha V'Limadetem Oysam Es Binecha. VaKavana B'Shnei Machas. Ki Loy L'Soyu Barasa Kiyim L'Sheves. U'L'Chvoidcha Barasa Yotzar. Here we go. And so to O Hashem, King who reigns over kings, may I come to you and cast my supplication. My eyes are fixed upon you until you are gracious to me and hear my prayer to present me sons and daughters, who in turn will also be fruitful and multiply. Why do I want these children? For the purpose that they and I, so that all of us will occupy ourselves in your holy Torah. This is the tefillah al banim from the shla,
right? That's what the tefillah was known as. That's what the shla wrote on the top of his tefillah. A tefillah al banim. You ask the Eibishter for children. What are you asking Hashem for children for? Because you want to have children, obviously. But that's not the nusach of the tefillah. It's letachlis. I'm telling you why Eibishter want children. Because it's hard for me to learn because I don't have children. And if I don't have children, they're not going to be able to learn. But if you give me children, I'm skipping. Ata Hashem, yoideya kol talumois. V'lufanecha niglu matzpunei libi. Ki kavanosi, and you know the truth. Ki kavanosi b'chol eilo l'man shimcha ha-gadol ha-kadosh l'man teiroscha ha-kadosh. Alkein aneini Hashem aneini. And it's for that reason I'm asking you to be answered. There's a madrega of making it about a Kadosh Baruch Hu where it's not even about me. You completely remove yourself from the picture, you make it 100% about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the real oymik of this madrega that Rav Chaim Volozhin is talking about, Nefesh HaChaim Shaar Beis. But there's a madrega that you see from the Sfarim HaKadoshim, from the Chidah, from the Shlach Kodesh, that they incorporate in their tefillah, which is something that we couldn't relate to. And that is, Eibush, that at the end of the day, we're Yidden, we're good Yidden. Ruba the Ruba of the things that we do are good. Just go map out your day. Most of the things we do are good. We're not perfect. Yeah, we're nichshon, things we're not supposed to. But at the end of the day, let's be honest, we're on the right path. We're trying to do the right thing. And these struggles and these nisoinus that we have, they get in our way. They get in our way from serving you properly. Is for that reason, gemich parnasa. And you know what I want parnasa for? I want parnasa kedei shenucha lavad avidos chatoheir vaktoisha b'litir des parnasa. And HaKadosh Baruch, we want banim, right? We want nachis. Why? Letachlis shehem v'ani kulonu yasku. Kulonu yasku b'soyroscha ha-kadosha. That's what the Yid wants. And when a Yid davens like that, he's also making it about HaKadosh Baruch. That's also v'tispal al-chana al-Hashem. It's that Indian as well. Because you're not making it all about give me, give me, give me.
Truth, just think about it in life, right? Again, if people come to people some, they're always asking them for things. It's not geschmack. It's not geschmack. The biggest gvir, the biggest noisein appreciates it when somebody chaps that he's also a person. And maybe doesn't just all, right? The Eibishter is teaching us, it's a posh tezach. The amchosh is very, very simple. You come to Hashem every day, just give me, give me, give me. No, you make it about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, give me all day. You know what you sound like when you say give me all day? You know what desire says it sounds like? Right? Klovim, kiyudu. It's just not fine. It's not even appropriate. Yeah, it's just not nice. It's not nice. You call a person, you harass them all day, give me, give me, give me. See, right, the Eibishter is a rachum v'chanan. We have no asog of what the Eibishter is. But you know what? On some level, we should. We should. The Eibishter is our father. Hashem gave us a mashal. So the mashal is we're the children, and Hashem is the father. Even a child, there's a limit of how much he's allowed to harass his father. There's a shir. But when he makes it about his father, when he's mechabed him, and it's done about fakert, a neighbor who's a koil yochel, who has an unlimited account where he can give all the hashpois and all the yishas, that's what neighbor is waiting for. And really, a big part of what we need to learn is how to daven, and literally just, and not just how to daven, what the pirish of the hardest word in tefillah is. It's just the whole sugang, the whole gisha, the whole cook of how you're supposed to do it. And that's one of the hilchas of Rav Ravasa that we learn from the story of Chana. And it's very much a Rosh Hashanah de Gelimut. Like Rav Chaim Volozhin said, Ve'inenu arois benusach tefillas Rosh Hashanah, shu mesuda meiroishoi ve'atsoifoi, rak al kfoid malchusa yisparach shemai. That's what the whole tefillah is. It's from beginning to end. And then it says, what did Chana do? Right? What did Chana say? When Chana's tefillah was ultimately answered, what's that last iteration of her tefillah? What does she say? She turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and she tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu that in the event, in Royoy Sira Ba'ani Amosecha, this is Rosh Hashanah, I'll be Zoichet as a Chroinus. That's what we're going to have for Rosh Hashanah. I want the Chroinus. You know what I'm going to do? V'nosata la'moscha zera unesata v'lashem kol yimechayev u'moyer lo'yal r'al Rosh Hashanah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the first Tfilas Hashla. It's Tfilas Chan. I'm not asking for children for myself. I'm asking because I know my purpose in this world is to be the mother of a child, and I'm going to raise her to serve you properly. Unesata v'lashem kol yimechayev u'moyer lo'yal r'al Rosh Hashanah. That's v'tispal chana, not el Hashem, but that's v'tispal chana al Hashem. But I just want to end with one ha'ara. One, what I think is a dover nifla ad l'moed. So again, we know the story of Chana, which is why we didn't review it in this share. But just recap it really quickly for this last part. So there was a man, his name was Elkanah, he had two wives. One of his wife was Penina, his other wife was Chana, and Penina was blessed with children. Chana was not. And one of the more challenging times in the life of Chana was when they used to be Oyla Regal, they would go up to Shiloh, and, you know, Penina would come with her whole family, and Chana didn't have any children to come along with. And, you know, Elkanah would bring karbanos, and then he would give from the meat of the karbanos to Penina and her family, and she got her one little portion because, you know, she was one person, and how much could she eat? And to add insult to injury, literally, the pasuk says, "V'chiasata tzarasa gam kas bavur hariima." That Penina used to chepa Chana. She literally would chep her, and she would make her angry. Bavur hariima. She was literally trying to pick a fight with her. That's what she was trying to do. Kisoga Hashem badrachma. And the focus of what she was doing to Chana was, she would say, "Look at me. I have this beautiful family, and look at you." You know, the chenyasa b'shana b'shana, and this would repeat itself every year, and literally every time they would go up, kein tachisena v'tivka v'lo yisoicha, and it was so difficult. This was such a hard time of year for Chana that she would just cry throughout the yontif, a time you're supposed to be besimcha. She's just crying v'lo yisoichal, and that little portion that she had, that wasn't even something that she could eat. And the pasuk talks about how Elkanah tried comforting her, right, like a good husband. Am I not better than you? Than 10 sons? Well, apparently not. But the bottom line is, he said, I understand. Lama sifki, v'lama lo yisoichli, v'lama yera levavich, halo yanoichi toivlach, may asa rabana. But either way, the pasuk says that there was this one year where the cheperai got so bad that she just couldn't anymore. She couldn't anymore. So it says, V'atokam chana achrei ochle b'shilav achrei shosai ve'eli ha'koin yoshev ala kisei amzuzas heichel Hashem. She goes to the mokam ha'mikdosh and Eli ha'koin, parenthetically, is sitting by the mezuzah of the heichel ve'hi maras nefesh, and she was so broken. V'atispalel al Hashem, she davin u'bochei sifka, and she just cried and cried. Right? Bochei sifka means she didn't just cry. She cried and she cried. V'atidar neder, and she makes her neder. V'atoymer, and she said, Hashem tzvokos, imroi sira ba'oni amosecho. Uzgartani v'lo yisishkach es amosecho v'nosata l'amoscha zera anoshim u'nesata v'lashem kol yimechayov u'moyru lo yala al-rosh v'hoyekir b'solis ba'lufnei Hashem v'eili shemir espiyo. Eili was watching her as she's davening. V'chano himed aberes al-liba. Now Chana, when she was davening, she was talking, but aliba, it was dvarim shebelev. Raks vaseh on noise. Her lips were moving. V'koyla lo yishamea, but she wasn't making any noise. V'yachsheveh Eli l'shikaira. And Eli thought she was a shekha. V'yomela Eli, admasai tishtakarim. So Eli comes and he rebukes her. He says, I understand, I know it's the holidays, but you're drunk? Hasirias yeinech mi'olaych. Sober up and then come back and pray. But it's inappropriate for you to be davening right now in this drunken stupor. Vatan Chana vatoymer. And Chana responded to Eli. Lo yadoyni. No, my master. I'm not drunk. Ishak shas ruach anoichi. V'yayim v'sheicha lo yisho sisi. V'eshbeches nafshi lefnei Hashem. You're not looking at a drunk woman. You're looking at a broken woman. And the reason I'm davening the way I'm davening, and I'm not conforming with all the protocol, is because I'm too broken to do so. Don't be choshen at me as if I'm some bas plial. He says, I'm just so broken, I'm so angry. You have no idea what's going on inside of me. That's what you're witnessing right now. Vayan Eli vayomer. So when Eli heard what Chana said, he was so taken aback. So Eli said, "Lechi l'shalim, far gezun tehet. Valikei Yisrael yiten asheilaseich ashesha alt mi'imay." And he gives him the gives her the greatest brach of all time. He says, "I want you to go home, and you're gonna see that Elikei Yisrael yiten asheilaseich ashesha alt mi'imay." And Chazal learned from here, "Achoish b'ksheirim tzarich levarchay." And Chana, when she gets this bracha from Eli, she felt very good. She felt like something moved. Vatoimer, she said, "Tim such of chaschach im beinecha, vateilucha yishal ledarka vatoichal upanel ayhayulaid." And the pasuk says they came home, and as soon as they came home, vayedal konen eschana ishtoi vayiskoreh Hashem. And then fast forward, she's zoich and she has a child, Shmuel. And then she comes back two or three yomim toivim later, and she goes to Eli and Vatoimer bi Adoni chein nafshecha Adoni. Do you recognize me? Ani ha'isha ani tzeves imcha bazel l'spala l'Hashem. El anar hazeh hispalolti. Vayitin Hashem li ashe ilasi ashe sha'alti me'imoy. V'gam anoichi, I'm going to fulfill my neder hishaltiu l'Hashem kol ha'yomim ha'shahoyo hushol l'Hashem v'yishtach v'usham l'Hashem. And then she sings shira v'atispalo chana v'atoimer ol atzlibi b'Hashem. Roma karni b'Hashem rocha pi aloi v'ayki samachti v'shuasach. And this is the story, the shortest version of it, of the story of Chana. So Chana is davening, and Eli never saw anybody daven that way. So Eli thought that she was drunk. You understand. The reason you never saw someone daven this way is maybe because you never saw someone so broken like I am. But this is coming from a brokenness. Please don't accuse me of being a baspaliyal. And then Eli gives Chana the greatest brach of all time. I saw in the Abar Benel a Dover Niflam Mamish. Dover Niflam, we're going to end with this. Can't end after this. We're going to end with this. Says the Abar Benel, what did Eli mean when he told Chana Lechila Shalom? Every person in history touched it for gesundheit. That's what Eli was telling Chana. Abba says that Barbanel Rotzoloim, I think what Eli was saying was something else. He saw she was angry. He saw she was angry, and he knew why she was angry. She was angry because somebody was chapping with her. And it wasn't just somebody, it's her husband's other wife. And it was really, really hard for her. So you know what he told her? L'chila shalom, al tiskayis in Penina tzayrasech. Don't be angry at Penina. V'al tisragezimo, don't pick a fight with her. Ki hoya yoideya in yonah. Eli knew what was going on. Either because he just knew, oy she gidula adava befra, could be Chana confided. He confided with the Rebbe, and she told him what was going on. He said, "Go to Shalom, make peace, don't fight." And instead of channeling your life force on fighting with Penina, being angry at her and being upset at her chutzpah, she talks to me this way. Doesn't she realize what I'm dealing with? Take that energy and go lel Hashem darkechu betach elov ki hu yiten asher losech ashne sha'alt me'imay. The story of Chana is a story of tefillah. Kame Hilchasa, Rav Ravasa, we learn from the story of Chana. It's a story of a bracha from our Rebbe. This is the ultimate story. We've spoken about that many times over the years. It's the story of the greatest bracha of all time that Eli gave. But there was one prerequisite. There was a prerequisite for Chana's tefillah being answered. There was a prerequisite for Eli's bracha playing itself out. And the prerequisite was L'chila Shalom. Eli saw that there's something that can get in the way of all this. He was ready. He was all in on this. All in with the bracha. He gave it a bracha. Now we're going to pull this moifus out. It's going to happen. He understood that azat tefillah, where he thinks she's drunk and it's coming from a broke, there's no way that tefillah is not being answered. Chana got to the point where her tefillah was going to be answered. Chana got Eli to the point where he was going to give her the bracha that was going to be mekoyim. But there's one thing that Eli understood could get in the way. And that is, if there's going to be machloikis, if Chana's going to go back home right now, and on the ride home, she's going to be angry at Penina, and she's going to be fighting with Penina, then all the tefillahs and all the brachas are a waste of time. It's not going to work. It's not going to play itself out. And the reason is pashut. It's a chazal. Because loimotza kodesh baruch hu kli machzik bracha el ha'sholem. And if there's no, so I can give you brachas from today till tomorrow. But if you don't have the kli machzik bracha, it's not going to get you very far. The hakdama, The hakdama to Eli's bracha, his haftacha was l'chil shalom. Not furgas in tahayt. He saw something very acute. He saw something very, very specific. He was worried. And Demas is like this. Look at the pasuk right before. Right, the Barber Neller is pshutei shal mikra. What does Chana say? Kimiroif sichi v'kasi dibarti adeno. She said before she was angry. So Eli said, one second. If you're angry, you're going to show your anger. What do you think is going to happen? We're all people. And that's what Eli was worried about. And that's why Eli said the first thing is l'chil shalom. You have to go ahead. You have to make shalom. You know, there's been a big ruach over these last two or so months, shalom for Charlotte. There's this big ruach in the Welt right now of making shalom. Emma says it's such an appropriate movement and ruach right now, Erev Rosh Hashanah. Erev Rosh Hashanah is when we want the zichronos l'toiva. Erev Rosh Hashanah is when we're going to read Maftachana and we're going to beseech Hashem by being ma'orer, how Chana was zoicha to the zikaron type, we should also be zoicha to the zikaron type. And the truth is, it's a zman that's so mesugel for zechroinus l'toiva. It's mind-boggling. There's a secret, I think, that in the pshutai shal mikra you unlock when you go through the sugi of Rosh Hashanah, what the koyach of this day is, and how for Rosh Hashanah nifkedos Sarah and Rachel and Chana and Yosef who was in the Beis Asurim and the Shir Mitzrayim. Right, we said benisa nigalu b'tishrei asidim legal. It's this man of Nisan Anastarim. But Kinnira, there was one tonight that was necessary, and that is l'chi l'shalem. Because if without a l'chi l'shalem, if you don't have the kli machzik bracha, if you don't have that shalom, then you could get a bracha from Eli HaKoyim by the mezuzah of the Heichel, and you could be an ishak shas ruach, and you could be v'atispal chana al Hashem, but you need the kli machzik bracha. One line tucked away in an Abar Benel that I think is such a giloy in terms of understanding how Yeshua's work. Either way, we should be zoicha that just like Berosh Hashanah nifkada Sarah Rachel v'Chana, all Klal Yisrael should be nifkad on Rosh Hashanah, whether it's for children, whether it's for Parnasa, the Tfilas Achida, whether it's for Chaylam, whatever the Yeshua's should be, l'chil shalom, and we should be zoicha to these gevaldige Yeshua's on this very, very holy day.